One, two, three. It's a bubble, friends. We're going to do a podcast.
Yeah. Can I let go of my bubble now?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Today, we are talking about the safe space and its importance in the classroom. I am here today with my gorgeous co-host, Erin.
Well, hello.
How are you today?
Well, this is great. And before we get started, I want to just make a public service announcement that this podcast is brought to you by the wonderful novels of or books by Courtney, my other fabulous co-host here.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
We had to get the
shameless promo. You can get them at CourtneyJohnsonBooks.com.
Perfect example. Shameless promo. Also, if you enjoy us talking now, come hop over to our other podcast where it's about life, love, and the messiness of all about it. It's called Honestly Wear a Mask.
And it is chaos in podcast format.
Yes. It's a safe space, but also messy.
Yes, I agree. That was a great plug in there.
Thank you. You know, I'm here all day. So
would you agree that the safe space is important for the classroom?
I mean, for the kids, absolutely. But I think what's not talked about is the safe space for the teachers in the classroom.
That is true as well.
Because one thing that out of the many, many years, out of all the kids that I have worked with, we're talking about thousands of kids I have worked with over these years, the safe space we create for them, one of the things that we have to remember is we don't know what goes on in their home. We have to provide that level of comfort and protection to allow them to actually be kids.
Yeah.
And I'm actually going to start it off pretty heavy because it reminds me, and I don't think I've talked about this yet, so Courtney, stop me if I've talked about this. It reminds me of this one little boy that I taught martial arts to. I ran the preschool program. I ran the littles. 3 years old to early five. Great ages. Especially when you give them targets to kick and punch. Well, there was this family that came in. Mom and dad were very, very social. Very charming. And the little boy, he would hide behind the chairs, under the chairs, behind mom and dad. Okay. Nothing out of the ordinary. You're in a new environment. You know, not only are you hearing me yell during class, you're hearing, you know, the other male instructors yell. It's a very loud environment. But with these littles, I always try and got down to their level. At one point, it was just him and I would lay on the floor talking to him underneath the chair just to try and get him to come out. Well, you know, this went on for a little bit. We would have good days and bad days. I finally got him on the mat. But then we had, this was a few months later, we came across a bad day. And this little boy was actually talking to me and hugging me when he saw me. But he had a rough day. Then instead of like resetting, mom took the little boy in the bathroom. And it was just us. All of a sudden, you heard a loud smack. And then you heard crying and everything like that. Now, you know, if you spank your kids, that is not what we are discussing. That is, as long as your children are safe, you're going to discipline how you discipline your kids. I am going to preface that. But the story gets a little bit more deep because mom also was involved with fostering kids. I believe she was a CNA or something in the slight medical field, but worked with special needs kids and she would foster them. Well, some time passes. All of a sudden, this family disappears. And, you know, me and my boss, we talked about it until one day, one of the moms, who her other son was in my class, and she goes, "Did you all see the news?" I said, "No." Turns out this family, these parents, ended up beating one of the special needs kids, and the child died. And it was that moment where it kind of clicked in me, where this little boy who, I mean, he holds a special place in my heart, but it was those moments where, you know, I built up that safe space. Mm-hmm. And probably the reason why he was having that one off day was probably because something happened at home. But then I still have guilt about not saying anything when she went into that bathroom with him. So when we sit there and talk about safe spaces, everyone always says, if you see something, say something. But I don't think everyone realizes that when you're in that sort of situation on what you would really do.
Yeah.
And it makes it hard because now, granted, that was over 10 years ago. And it's in that mindset that I have now because of that, that yes, if I see something, I will say something. I am very loud. I will happily go to prison for about any child.
Yeah.
But I believe that a lot of the times we don't find our voice unless something big like that happens.
Yeah.
But it is our job within that safe space that we create for these children. We have to also be able to have that courage to say something. Now, I don't know if you would agree, but with this is that sometimes the administration overlooks things. Yes. And they don't want you to say anything.
Yes.
And I bet you anything, the one kid that you and I both know.
Yeah.
That's one of them.
Yeah. Especially the admin we worked for, most of those kids didn't talk. They were still too young. And that is what the admin was banking on. If the kid can't say anything, why should we?
Even though it's our job to protect these kids.
Exactly.
But I also think, you know, while yes, we started off this episode very, very heavy with that, in a sense, that kind of physical safe space. But I also believe that safe space can be a little bit broader on allowing kids to be kids.
Yes.
There's so much pressure nowadays where, you know, now preschool kids, they have to be trying to read, you know, kindergarten, they have to be reading. And mm-hmm. It's the aspect of being a child isn't there anymore.
Yeah, I agree. One thing I will say about the last place I was at, I'm going to call it one big school. At one big school, they really were about play and letting the kids be kids. Because I know at our wannabe franchise that we worked at, kids were not allowed to take off their jackets. Kids were not allowed to take off their shoes. Kids were not allowed to do a whole lot of things. Couldn't play in mud. They couldn't get wet. All of that. Yep. At one big school, they encouraged it. They encouraged the kids to literally roll around in the mud. They encouraged the kids to take off their pants if they were soaking wet and run around in their undies. They encouraged kids to take off their shoes. Play was the biggest part of these kids' day because they learned so much through play. They expand their imagination. They expand their vocabulary. It's very important to let kids be kids and feel safe in being kids.
And that's the big thing when any child is in that safe space that you can create, you learn a whole lot about your child.
Yes.
And one thing, even as a parent of a older toddler, they always say that children act the worst when they are in that safe space because they know and understand that, yeah, there might be a consequence, but nothing bad is going to happen.
Yeah.
And that's one thing that I noticed before I switched facilities for my child. You know, at place A, where he was very much on his best behavior.
Yeah.
Like, and you've seen my child outside of that. That it is a night and day difference.
Every day you're like, are you sure he didn't misbehave today? He's not like this at home.
Yeah, which says a lot. But when I joined Facility B, there was a moment, maybe a couple weeks into it, that's when I started to get reports of, well, we had to sit out and we had to have lots of talks. But that showed me something. That showed me that there was that safe space to where now, even though we still live, what, an hour and a half away, once, twice a month, I will go and drop him off there for the day because he loves it and he feels safe there. When you're a child wants to go, and they know that they might get in trouble, but there's not going to be anything big about that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great thing. But I feel big. But now, with your thoughts, because, you know, I have the parent, teacher, I have lots of different, you have teacher views, which is sometimes helpful, because how do you think our administration can help support teachers and providing that safe space for teachers in order to help strengthen the safe space that the teachers create for the kids.
Okay, so I've got a story about this.
Oh.
I was on my lunch break and a teacher that was in the room with me was on her lunch break as well. And we were talking to each other, complaining about a parent. Well, another teacher that was in the staff lounge, also on her lunch break, went and reported me. And I got written up for talking about a parent in the staff lounge. Now, admin did not come to me to let me know. They went to my lead teacher and was like, tell her that she can't talk about parents in the staff lounge. And my lead teacher was like, why not? She's off the clock and the staff lounge should be a safe space. And they did not agree with her. But I feel like you need to give, if I'm saying something in the staff lounge, unless it's absolutely horrendous, obviously there's limits to things, I should be able to say what I want.
Absolutely.
I should not have to fear that one of my coworkers is going to run and tell my boss and that my boss. Now, mind you, the parent didn't hear this. Obviously, it was the middle of the day. There was no parents there. They were in the lounge. So a parent didn't hear this. Another teacher did. But the teacher was friends with the parent. And so that's why she told on me. Personally, I would have told her to mind her business. Unless I was on the playground during work hours talking like that. I mean, talking crap about any parent on the, like, where another parent can hear is ridiculous. I will attest to that. But if I'm
behind, as a parent side,
if I am behind closed doors in a staff lounge, I should be able to be like, fuck this parent if I really wanted to.
Not every parent is going to be the greatest. Not every parent, you know, there is no such thing as a perfect parent.
Imagine.
Guess what? I'm not a perfect parent. Nobody is perfect. You know, if you think that you are a perfect parent, please write me a book and checklist on how you think that, because that would just be phenomenal. But, you know, you talking crap about a family, parents can be frustrating.
Yeah.
Parents can be annoying. That I can be annoying as a mom. Trust me, I bugged you enough. And you sometimes you're probably like, get the fuck away. Like, get it. But I believe, like, sometimes, like, there needs to be that level of security, safe space security. We're going to correlate those two. Because if we don't provide that for the teachers cannot be on top of their game to provide that for the kids. Obviously, don't talk shit about parents in front of the kids, because kids eventually talk.
They're sponges.
They're sponges. They will repeat. They do listen. If you don't think a child listens, you might want to turn your listening ears on, because they do. There's this level of understanding that I think administration lacks, especially if they've never been in the role of a teacher. Sometimes when people graduate or wherever life had them before, they jump into a specific role without having any previous knowledge of the roles before them.
Yes.
I believe one thing that could help administration is, okay, well, yes, I understand we want to hire you for assistant director, director, or whatever, but you have to take 6 months and work in one of our classrooms.
And recently too, just because you were in the classroom 5 years ago,
yep,
it needs to, every, I don't know, 2 years, they got to go back to the classroom for at least one class.
Like, I even would say put it in like the yearly training.
Yeah.
Admin has to go and assist in every age group.
Yep.
For one day.
And then tell us we don't get a safe space.
Yeah. Because when admin can't see and actually can't visualize what is happening within their classrooms, they don't know. You know, is one of your teachers going, like, mourning a death of a loved one? Because when they're not on their A game, again, they're not going to have create the safest space for the kids. So how do you not know if someone is grieving the loss of a loved one, is going through a divorce, is, you know, their parents are getting a divorce, they failed a class, their car broke down? How do you know, and how do you support your teachers when you don't even know what is going on within the classroom?
Exactly.
Because when you create that safe space, yes, your room might get a little bit more chaotic. Not might, it will. Your room will get a little bit more chaotic. You're going to have kids who morph into werewolves. Mine decides to only do that in Trader Joe's, but you're going to get more what looks like behavior problems. And I think that's where there is a lot of misunderstanding between actual true behavior problems and kids who feel safe.
Yeah.
Because kids who feel safe, they're going to want to push the line. They're going to want to take that toe and touch it.
Yep.
Like in Finding Nemo, when they go out
and touch the butt.
They touch the butt. Kids are going to want to do that when they feel safe. Nemo felt safe. Yes, he was mad, but Nemo felt safe enough to touch the butt.
Yes.
Take that as a lesson, teachers. Take it as a lesson. Nemo felt safe enough to touch the butt.
I think that needs to be taught in classrooms.
I mean, not to, please, let's not go around teaching to touch butts. That is not what we do. That is not what we're saying.
No, but the same concept.
If you've never seen Finding Nemo, watch it. Because
10 out of 10 recommend.
10 out of 10 recommend. Because even with everything, even how protective Marlin is, you know, Mr. Ray created this environment where kids got to explore and really be the little student fishes that they are. And he gained the confidence. And I mean, we're not going to talk about the kidnapping out of the ocean and really dive deep about, you know, no, that we're going to stop right before Nemo gets kidnapped. And we're going to stop it right after Nemo touches the butt. That is the big pivotal moment in your classroom, when your kids are safe enough to touch that line, to touch the butt. We should cut that because that sounded really bad.
I wanted to see if you were actually going to go with it, and you did. Oh, that was great.
That was great, but we need to cut that. And I know you're probably not going to.
We could do an episode that just cut out.
That's what I want to do, is just do bloopers. So when you create the safe space, you're going to notice more behaviors. You're going to notice more quirky things, you know, but you're also going to learn more about how your students click, how your students learn, and how to better help them. But unfortunately, there was a fuzz that fell. Unfortunately, there is not enough safe spaces available for the teachers. Teachers are stressed. Teachers are overworked. They're undervalued, underappreciated, underpaid.
Yeah, that one.
That one. There's a lot of them. So they cannot do their best ability to create a safe space. And one way, when I was working in kindergarten, that we would really help create this safe space for the kids is we would do yoga. So we all did yoga together. Like, it was great. I loved it.
I did yoga with my kids. They loved it.
It's great. But it's also, you know, listening to the kids. It's understanding that we're going to be there when they fall and scrape their knee. We're going to be there if they get across the monkey bars for the first time. We see these kids more during a school year than they see their family. It is our job to be that cheerleader, the nurse, the psychologist, the doctor, whatever it might be, to help those kids being able to safely identify their emotions, recognize their emotions, create that safe space. Because then if something were happening at home, you're going to hear about it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You're going to see it, whether through play, which is, I know what you're going to school for, play therapy. You're going to be able to see, and you're going to be able to help these kids out even more than you do now.
Yeah. And so to that point, at one big school, every classroom had to have a designated safe space for the kids. And it was usually like this doghouse looking thing. I don't know how to describe it, but it only had one wall, not all four.
Sounds like Debbie from Shameless.
Anyway. And so you put pillows in it. You like make it look cute, make it calming.
Okay.
And, you know, if a kid was having really big feelings, you know, they're really angry or really sad, they would go to the safe space to calm down. Or they were like, I'm not ready to play. I'm going to go sit in there, because friends knew you couldn't play with your friends in the safe space. They did it sometimes, but they knew. If your friend is in there, they need space. But I realized it works very well, because if a kid is on the playground flipping out and you're trying to get him to talk to you and tell you what happened, why they're crying, all they're thinking in their head is that there's so much chaos going on and they're trying to deal with their own emotions that they don't fully understand. So they can't tell you. But I've had a kids get hurt outside or something, and I will bring them to the safe space and I walk away. I'm still like within earshot, you know, I will turn my back, whatever. So they have a minute to calm down, and then they're more likely to tell me what happened.
No, that is, I like that idea, providing just their own like little bubble. And probably more schools should implement something like that. Just giving kids the ability to have somewhere where they can go to help regulate their own emotions. Now, granted, even as adults, we have a hard time regulating our emotions. That yeah. is something that we're always trying to do. But helping miniature humans even grasp and understand basic emotions is incredibly difficult.
Yeah.
You know, one of my favorite things in my house that I say, and I've been saying it even not only to my child, but to other children as well, is it's okay to be mad, but it is not okay to be mean.
I like that.
It's like my favorite motto in my house. And you come in my house, you're going to hear, you know, my son running and, you know, being a dinosaur, stomping around. But I've worked at creating that safe space for him to be him.
Yeah.
Yes. There's toys around. My house is lived in.
It's his house.
It's his house. I just live in and pay the bills. But he knows that he is safe. And the one thing that I'm really starting to see is that he's starting to push his new sitters. So my sister, he's really starting to push her buttons. And it's great. It is a great thing to see that. And she's happy. And she used to work in education too. She is happy that he's doing that.
Good.
And that's, you know, as educators, because like I said, she used to work in special education. She is happy that he is starting to push that boundary line.
Yeah. Good.
Because that safe space is being created. Mm-hmm. It's going to help a child grow. Because we, as adults, we understand the concept of boundaries and everything. But when we are at a job, whether that is a education job, whether that is white collar, whether we're not going to talk about blue collar folks, because blue collar folks operate on Monster energy drinks, vapes, and a dream. They are something else. But I appreciate all blue collar workers. Don't come at me for that, but we are given our do's and don'ts in a job. But it takes some time to really understand those do's and don'ts. What time is it best to use the copier? Is there a hierarchy where, you know, middle school teachers or high school teachers get to use the copier first? Like, there's things that we're going to have to learn. If there is a safe space created, mistakes are okay. Because guess what? You're going to make a mistake. Nothing's going to happen. Someone might tell you, hey, Joe Schmo gets the copier every day at 7:30 in the morning because they leave right at 4 o'clock because Joe has to take little Sally to the dentist every day. Sally there.
Dang, I thought my teeth were bad.
I know. Poor little Sally. And sorry for any parent named Joe with a daughter named Sally. If we are allowed to make mistakes, why can't kids?
Exactly. Mic drop.
Well, that was like the littlest, like, because we provide our own safe space to us. So let's do it for the kids.
I agree.
And accept those little bit of behavior things, because sometimes those little behavior things come out to be really funny. You know, me and my child, we go on a walk every single day, every single day. Even when we visit grandma, we go on a walk every single day. And his thing was, you know, he's a boy. He wants to run.
Right.
But, you know, rather than really getting mad at him, one thing that I really did, I played into his imagination. And yes, my son does fully believe that the Ninja Turtles do live in the sewers and that they can eat pizza. But now what that has done, since I played into his imagination, he no longer runs. He stops at every sewer.
I love that.
And asks for the turtles.
So cute.
Oh, it's hilarious. He asks if they want pizza. So when you provide that safe space and you can really see how your students really interact how they communicate, the little quirks about them, you're going to be able to help teach them better.
Yeah.
Because whether that's you have a little girl who loves Elsa, okay, well, how can we use Elsa to help her grow? And whether that be socially, so she's not sharing, well, we need to be like Elsa and let it go. I just come up with these, but can you tell I've been around a lot of kids?
Yeah.
We need to be able to provide that area so that we can fully start to understand what these kids need. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk.
I feel like that's becoming your new catchphrase.
Thank you for coming to my TED Talk. Yes, it is. Because I feel like I do rant. Because a lot of it pisses me off.
No, I agree with you. And so I think once the kids get out of preschool, when they went to one big school, it's been a shock to them that they don't have a safe space. They don't have somewhere that they can go and calm down. And I think that's been a big shock to a lot of the kids. But I agree with you. I think every school should implement something along those lines. It doesn't have to be the little doghouse. It could be a corner with some cushions.
But also, like, one thing that we did was we had a glitter stick. And if we noticed if everybody was getting a little bit, like, we would be like, okay, we're going to turn it. Watch the glitter fall. And it provided that, like, calming nature.
Yeah.
To de-escalate some of those situations or we would dance it out.
Love it. Dance it out.
No. Like, I do dance it outs every day in my house. But I think it's harder because when they step into grade school, it is an agenda of, okay, math, science, reading, history, art, STEM.
It's a culture shock.
It's a culture shock. So in a sense, there needs to be a collective safe space, like a glitter wand or, you know, I've seen a lot of the tattletale boxes.
Oh, yeah, those are funny.
Those are great because it's giving kids that reassurance. Hey, I am being heard. I am going to tell on Courtney because Courtney touched my applesauce.
I thought you were going to say butt.
She touched my butt. And, you know, then she called me a bitch, and which I've seen on TikTok, some of those. Oh, yeah. My God. So funny. Especially when they do curse. I know kids shouldn't curse.
I love a child cursing. Please. It's so funny to me.
It's hilarious.
Especially when they can't say it right. A bullshit.
No. Side note, squirrel moment. Going back to where kids listen. I was with grandma. Somebody cut grandma off.
Ooh.
Grandma dropped, I think it was like, fucking asshole, fuck them or something. Well, all of a sudden, we thought he wasn't paying attention.
They always are.
They always are. And granted, I didn't get mad at him. Because how do I get mad at him? He doesn't know what he's saying.
Yeah.
Obviously, I yelled at my mom. Like, I yelled at grandma.
Right.
And then she fires back, no, that I have a mouth as well, which okay, true. But anyways, how, like, there needs to be a collective way in a classroom, especially when you hit grade school, to be able to provide that safe space for every single kid. Mm-hmm. Tattletale boxes, glitter wands, dancing it out, yoga. Give a kid each a journal so that they can write. I don't know.
I did pinwheels.
Pinwheels.
Yeah, because it taught the kids how to take a deep breath in and blow it out. Oh. And it gave them something to watch. So I did pinwheels.
Well, that's a good idea. I'm going to have to go on Amazon and buy one for little man. Because he blows it out. He blows out the mad.
I love that.
Yes, that we blow out the mad. I think a lot of issues could be solved if we provided the safe space. And we will be able to protect a whole lot more kids.
I like that. I'm always down to protect the kids.
Oh, me too.
And I think back to the topic, even though it was like several minutes ago, an hour at this point, about the teachers not having a safe space. I agree with you. If the teachers aren't feeling safe, it's harder for them to create a safe space. That's why I feel like you shouldn't have to leave work to feel safe. Because after I got written up, a lot of people were like, well, if you had left for lunch instead of staying, I was like, but who's to say that, you know, I didn't get heard at lunch and it's an okay place to get tattled on. And I, again, do not feel like I should have to leave work to feel safe.
No, you shouldn't. You should feel safe at work.
Imagine.
Whoa, such a weird concept. You should feel safe at work. as long as there were no kids around, you know, but again, you're human. You're going to get frustrated.
That's another one I got written up for.
Being frustrated?
Yeah, it all happened within the same week. Apparently, when I spoke to a child, I sounded frustrated and it made the adult teacher feel icky inside. So they had to tell on me. Those were the words. And then I had my boss look me in the eyes and tell me he gets frustrated sometimes too. And sometimes he's guilty of sounding frustrated in front of the kids. So wasn't really sure what I was being written up for. Hypocrisy.
I don't understand the feeling of icky. I'm trying to wrap my head around that.
And that's because, when I quit.
Makes sense. See, I might have a different viewpoint on, you know, if there is a child who is doing something that they really shouldn't be doing. You know, you've gone through all the steps of, you know, not even disciplinary action, of redirection, everything with that. I believe that it is okay to have a little bit more firmness in your voice.
Yeah.
I'm not saying scream at the kids or, you know.
Use your teacher voice.
Use your teacher voice. There was one in the place we're not going to name. There was one little boy. This was before you. And this little boy, he knew how to really, really push buttons. And you knew that it was a home thing because there was multiple times where the kid would throw a fit with the parent and the parent would just give in. Mm-hmm. So it was at the end of the day, I was helping out in the classroom. Look at that, an admin helping out in the classroom.
Imagine.
Imagine that. And I was having the kids clean up. Well, this one kid decided to pull out a bucket, stare right at me, dump it all out, proceeded to kick toys around, and then walk away. I calmly called him back and I said, you have to start putting these toys away. He straight up goes, no, no. And I did have more firmness in my voice. I said, no, you are going to put every one of these toys back in this bucket.
Yeah.
He told me, you do it. And I said, no. I am not going to do it because I am not the one who did that.
Right.
So then he started. Meanwhile, the director walks in. She goes, is everything okay? I said, yeah, it's great. And because at that point, he started throwing the toys in the bucket. And she goes, do you need to, is everything okay? And I was like, yeah. I said, he is still putting the toys away. I said, I don't care if he throws them in there. He's still putting them away.
Exactly.
It is okay. Have a teacher voice in a classroom. That's a...
Not for me.
Because how, you know, Courtney, if you were to just have your happy-go-lucky attitude and my son was doing something and you told him no with your happy-go-lucky voice, what is he going to do?
Laugh in my face as he continues to do it.
Yeah. Like, it's okay. You're not going to hurt the kid's feelings if you have a little oomph in your voice.
I agree. And that just goes back to, you know, not feeling safe somewhere. That not feeling safe at work affects the teacher.
It does.
Just like not feeling safe at home or school affects the child.
Yes. But sometimes administration, we need to hide our icky feelings. There's going to be lots of people who make us feel icky. Guess what? It's your job to provide that safe space for teachers if you want them to do their job to the best of their abilities for kids.
Amen. I like it. I like it. Okay. I think that is a good stopping point. How about you?
I think that is because I can rant about this shit all day.
We'll have to do a part two, I'm sure.
Ooh, probably.
Don't forget, it is all about keeping the kids safe. I've been your host, Courtney. This is my beautiful co-host,
Erin.
Forget your name. And we'll catch you next week.